Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard to live it, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me no, hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, there've been times that I thought I could last for long. But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
Okay, today is another nice day. I want to thank you for tuning into the program, of course. I'm feeling a little tired. However, I have to do a duty. I feel very much willing to do. It's a pleasant experience to do something where you're not stretching a plate out. It's voluntary, and doing something that is so powerful to be able to speak, it's a blessing that you're healthy enough that your tongue will operate for you to speak. I am very, very thankful for this. I hope that you, let's say, feel the same way. If we are on the same accord. There are a lot of things that are hindrance to our spiritual life. And it takes a long time for me to begin to see, and this is a fact. If you are similar in thinking like I do, I can tell you, oh, well, I remember some of my younger days. And right now, I have in view a place we call Twickenham Park, out of the Spanish Town, Kingston Highway. I remember myself driving along that part of the road between Spanish Town and Kingston, and remember some of my thoughts as I drive alone on the road, and let's say I'm reading World History Now. I know quite a few things. Of course, I never thought of back in those days. In those days, I remember I am looking for ideas, things to feed on. And some of the things that came to me back then. I could just think about them and then they will eventually disappear. I wanted to know things that are beyond my awareness at that time. And it's as though there is nothing anywhere, because I am thinking. I'm thinking hard. And as it were, calling for higher knowledge of from the things I am thinking. And it just don't come. Just don't come. And oftentimes, I am thinking stuff on my level of thinking, and you know, like break into a little light that seems like what I am thinking has some reality in there. However, none of those things were close to putting me on, let's say, a historic knowledge. No, it was just that I want to try to find something in my thoughts that will elevate me to a higher level of delight. But it would not come. It would not come. And it is proven to me that the way we are born and raised up, it has everything to do with what we are afterward. If we don't get proper knowledge of things, chances are we'll be spoiled forever. What I come to realize now about the world is what brings me closer to really understanding the world around me, like this space, the skies, the trees, and so forth and so on, I have a sense which describes for me exactly what I'm looking at and what structure is there. Now, I have historic knowledge, and I am able to make sense of certain things that I didn't as I was growing up. To really see, to read and feel out these things that are real. Well, there was a time I was not able to think of those things because I wasn't thinking where those things are. I couldn't get into knowing those things where my mind was. And it takes a lot of years before I began to think and find it productive. It took a while. It took a lot of maturing then, thinking foolishness. Time passes, and it's a long time that I am thinking I never amount to much of anything, except it kept me going. It kept me going because my mind never closed down, but I'm thinking something though. When I go to sleep at night, I sleep. So when it comes down now to the reality of the world around me, what I am thinking now, it makes me a different person from who I was. I mean, in a certain context now, you know what I mean? I mean, somebody saw me like 40 years ago and see me now, they would see the same features and recognize me because I don't think my features change all that much so that I mean, anybody who knew me that long, I mean, they have to be beyond 40 years, all right? All right, but anybody who knew me, let's say they're younger than me and so forth, so they could have seen me, you know. You have to be good age to have fit into what I'm trying to say here. That, yeah, I look pretty much the same body and shape and, you know, if you're looking at me and to hear me speak, you probably hear the same voice too. So what I'm saying now is the difference between me growing up and in my early primary church school age, I am a different character, attitude type, a different, because back then I grew up with the church teaching, and you know, many years later, like I'm like about 50 years of age, what I have learned caused me to make discovery about reality. And then I realized I could not go on and live off the Bible. And somebody might find it difficult because difficult to think on my pitch because I am not on the same pitch before, like before. All right? So I want to express how life is such a glorious, wonderful thing. Because now I don't do anything in my conscious time that I'm to be sorry about. No, I'm purged. I'm cleansed in my mind. I am not the ordinary kind of person I used to be. However, I have not changed my pattern of respecting people, loving people, and have a sense of equalization with people in a human sense. So I'm not indifferent when it comes to civilized behavior. So nobody don't have to be feel scared or anything like that. I am normal when it comes to demeanor like that. But when it comes to some technical type of reasoning and stuff like that, well, that's where I think somebody will lose me, because I am not on that level of thinking. So it is going to sound very strange when I talk certain things, even on the radio here. I'll talk things that not acceptable to some people. But as far as I know, I am not gone out of temperance and you know, loving and kind and keep myself out of trouble. And there are serious things in my thinking where, you know, somebody is not going to want to talk to me. Like, for example, you talk about the Bible, and I'm talking to someone that has never heard anybody say anything bad about the Bible. And I have to say, I was right in that column where I never heard anybody say bad things about the Bible. But now I am different. And I am diverse. And I am explainable, which means anybody can talk to me, and anything that is different, I am not going to back down from tell you, explain everything to you, right? Now, I can tell you one of the things now that you may find something in it, a substance, whatever substance you want to make it. Now, when I was in Jamaica, before I migrated, I was playing a little music with some people that I know. And the one of the persons that I knew very well and was the leader of the band, the singing band. It was like a men and women quartet, right? Four girls and four men sing. And there was the gentleman that I didn't mention, but was the person that I came to acquainted with, and that, his name is David Keane. David Keane. I want to call his name not for any gain, okay, but for to make an experience out of this. And as far as my character change is, I was Christian, and I believe everything that Christian is known for. Now, remember my days. You're talking about before I leave Jamaica, I'm 27 years of age, but I'm Christian from I was like 7. So that's a long time, right? I am into Christian belief. All right. Well, being with the group, I was not a singer, but I play a little local type of guitar. And as far as we are concerned, back in Jamaica, back then, maybe not now, but back then, it was okay. It was, you know, whatever little ping-ping I was doing was kind of acceptable, okay? Well, I must be playing pretty much better these days. It would have to be. I never take lessons or nothing to advance me. But I try to learn some little things casually, right? So I think I could make a little better sound now. I would imagine so, but not anything extravagant or well played, professional. No, I'm not that. All right. The bottom of what I'm trying to express is David was perhaps co-owner of a store. I know it's like his father, you know, for some time, because Spanish Town, they have the store, and I was living in Spanish Town at one time, and I think maybe at this time when I went to Kingston and was working, and this gentleman asked me to come and play, you know, with his band. So, all right, I was doing that. And David and the group, they are all Christians too, okay? And used to go from church to church and play. And when I left Jamaica, come to Florida, about maybe 5 months or so later, David and the band came up to America, and did a tour. And I toured with them from Tampa up to way up to one of those states way up there. Forget what the name of the state is, but it is far up north. And we did the tour, and we break up, which means they went back to Jamaica, and I am here in America. All right. And then I remember a few years later, David visited Florida, and I went to the church where he was, right? So we met there and talked a little bit. After that, we never get to talk again. So it goes quite a few more years, and I heard David was, he had a church. And like things was going on well at the church. All right. But I think it's sometime in 2002, David passed away after he was sick for maybe like about 7 years or so. What bothered me about David's death is that he was a prime time preacher. Back in my time when I was in Jamaica with him, David, you could tell that David was, you know, just a sweet, nice character. And I don't know, we're probably born on the same month, maybe, too. We are Aquarius. I don't remember that for sure. But David was a nice person, okay, to everybody. And they are wealthy Jamaican, as far as I know. And I was not a wealthy Jamaican, but I am well behaved and an unpleasant person. And so David, after having the church, I wasn't there when he raised up his church. I was in America, right? So Church on the Rock, I think the church's name. And so what I'm trying to say to you now is about who I am today from when I was back there, back in Jamaica. And I was very serious throughout my Christian time. I struggled a little bit, but I was somebody who was, you know, I tried to, I mean, most of the time I was being what I want to be as a Christian. But later, as I grow older now, age 25 and stuff like that, the church was not taking care of me to hold me in my place like when I was younger. Right, but I can tell you, I was never somebody who run wild and carry on and drink and drunk. And I never smoke, and I was never a drunkard. So I was that kind of person. However, there was a more meaningful time that I would experience after Jamaica. Because I'm not afraid to tell you that I read on the fourth grade level when I was in Jamaica. Well, it's United Kingdom slavery island. And everybody in Jamaica are coming from slavery, right? Atlantic trade slavery islands, West Indies Island. And so the truth is, I didn't pick up much of an education at all when I go to primary school. And I still blame the system, you know, but now considering that the system was all handed down to us from white people, nothing else to really desire, expected more. You see what I mean? It was not a civilized, situation as far as I can see today. Jamaica is a spoiled Africa. Right now, give you an example, we should not be, according to history. You know, the white people take us out, totally away from our history and causes us to live the way white people want us African people to be. And most of all, if I tell you right now, what I discover, you might not like it, but this is not just sitting on the floor and don't know anything. I have been trying to know things. And I will tell you that Christianity is fly-blowing. You don't want to be a Christian if you really know what the world and humanity is. You don't want to be a Christian. And the Bible that I always revere, I have a new understanding about the Bible. You can read the Bible, of course, but make sure you're reading it like it is really a book with words. And whatever you're going to find in there, it's going to be your business what you see in there. Because if you, not unless you're talking to other people, you know, you will have interaction in it. But otherwise, you're going to read it, and it's going to be what you understand it says. Now, do you read those words and understand it? It's the key. Because once they preach and tell you certain things that they don't even know, the preachers don't know, but you think they know. Because they tell you the Holy Ghost, they have the Holy Ghost, and a system where you're filled with the Holy Ghost. And you don't know that is idiocy. You do not know that. So, coming back to David, when I left Jamaica, like I told you, I wasn't making much of a sense reading, okay? And I decided it's a priority for me. When I left Jamaica, I want to go to an adult school. Somehow, something tells me that inside of my core that I need to do that. I felt deficient, and I felt, you know, that is something I should try to do. So I didn't know anything before, and or like anybody say anything to me, nothing. But it is something that came on my nerve, and that's what I wanted to do, and I did, and I didn't think that I have much, you know, space in me to read. I didn't think I was going to do all that much at all, and I came out ahead of what I thought I would do, right? I did read a little further. Whereas I did underestimate, you know, if I moved, you know, two or three more level comprehension. Anyway, when I come to America and I go and I got graduate adult high school, right? And I realized a lot of things at that point about my prior communication word use and stuff like that, talking to people and people talking to me, I realized a lot of things that were more elevated than where I was, right? So I am somebody now who anybody can talk to and ask me about certain things about the world and people and politics, whereas I couldn't handle that before. And the little communication I used to do to people before is something that more low-key, because I basically have a certain level of they say little intelligence then, right? I have a little intelligence apart from reading. I am polite. I am cool. Okay? All right. So know that I reason. I used to reason when I could read, okay? It is a fact. I could do nice, good reason about certain things, you see. And I think I was pleasant, and people don't have no choice but to like this little person. All right. Now that I do the high school, I'm reading now to where, I'm not up there. I'm not college. I'm not university. Right? But I am proud of myself that I did the right thing. All right. I mean, anybody will have to be on guard if they're talking to me, if they know who this Tim Aldred is. I become now like, in a certain kind of way, like linguistically dangerous, because whatever I understand, I take it to the limit. Whatever I understand. So that doesn't mean I put me about anybody, but I am full of certain kind of a technique in word and reason. I am not going to be in bed with certain kind of people at all, because I think differently. And I am controlled by a different power then. You would understand that if you are following words and reason, okay? Christianity is no longer consideration for me when it comes to civilization. It's not a part of civilization. And maybe I better make it clear what civilization is. Now we are on these white people Roman Catholic understanding about almost everything, and when it comes to civilization, you cannot depend on white people system to set the foundation. You just shouldn't. Although that's where we are, because the Bible is not a good book for African people. But yet still, these white people get us to think it does. Now, I can tell you that if I didn't go to school and learn to read a little higher, I wouldn't be able to handle these things that I talk about, because now I have a certain reading level that I can cope with the kind of things I'm saying. So I'm not putting myself higher than where I am. I'm telling you, this is just somebody with a high school diploma that if you go to college and university, you still would need to have a certain broader standing about the general use of words, because I found out something, not in a classroom, but by actually using words. I come by things, and I don't take words from where you know it. It's a matter that we would be talking, and I will be pointing out meaning of a word that you use and put more body to what you're saying. If you understand me, right? There is more to words than we generally know. And I found out word is not shut up to where you can discover more about it, because a lot of us don't know enough about a word, right? So to understand the meaning in a word by different definitions, it's a lot of power. It's a lot of science that when you're talking to people, if they don't get break into that, they come out somebody who will do well. But when it comes to technical reason and the use of words, like I would ask you, what is the difference between knowledge and believe? And you need to be able to like go into the gut of these two words and make distinction between them. And you do that. If I ask you, what is the meaning of AD and Adamany, will you know that? If I ask you, what is the difference between AD and BC, do you know that? All right. So these type of things that my mind goes into kind of a set me apart from a lot of people. And now you probably might think that, you know, this guy is full of himself. Well, look here, I tell you, the truth is, I'm honest. Yeah, in a way, I'm full of myself. You know, no, but it's not for the negative now, you see, because I propose that I am all about honesty, uprightness, and everything that means the better person, right? And when I say like classier person, I don't mean along the line of money or having no something like that. It's not about money, because I am a person that when I was working, I had a concept, a philosophy, to go to work on time. Because if you go to work, this may be a little tip for a younger person coming up and know my tricks. Look, all right, my trick was not one that hurt the employer or anybody, right? It is about my moral, mostly, I think, completely. All right, I'm saying that I had certain... trick. I would trick the employer in going to work on time, behave well, good behavior and everything. For the first 30 days, it's the time that, you know, they watch you and see what you do. I'm always impeccable. Yeah. Because When the last day come, I am set free now. I don't have to be as all that cheerful like before. But it's not like I want to do anything negative and things to like put me as somebody who not well behaved. No, I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about whereas, you know, sometimes you may have to be late or something like that, or something didn't work out good, were not in my favor. All right. By me going to work, you know, consistently
on time. I'm reliable. I am building up a credit. I'm building up an immunity. I'm building up a prediction or expectation by doing that. Because once I'm no longer on probation, the employer still sees me as the person that was on probation. Reliable. All good. Now, that was something I was a philosophy, a concept of mine. Anyhow, anytime I get a new job, I'm going to be on there, you know, on my tip, top, toe, and I'm going to come to 100% good employee. All right. So I was that kind of a person and doing things to get the most advantage out of myself. Okay? Now, anybody in my family think like me? No. No. There's nobody. I don't know anybody think like me. Like that. No. I don't know anybody. I have several people in my family that go higher school than me. But none of them don't think about words the way I do. And some of them don't care to talk to me and stuff like that. Anyway, come back to what I was saying about David. The reality of Christianity that I have found out, I start to read the Bible now once I was like 6 years of age or so. And I was reading the Bible very, very seriously. All right. I did the adult school when I was about 27 years of age. All right. Well, I did something else 10 years later. I was about age 40 or something like that. I did a paralegal course. Who told me to do that? The gods inside of my head. Because I personally didn't feel like my primary school days had set the foundation, you know, the right level of education on that level. I didn't get enough of that. So I realized that although I did the high school and graduate, yeah, I made improvement. But there are some little things that I still don't know because I lose that in the primary school. Right. So I decided to make up for that taking the paralegal course. Right. Oh, I was going to enhance myself. I think I would be able to explain it to you, but not right now. So I go to the paralegal school. And you know what? It's like about 10 years later after I left high school, and I didn't pass the test to go in. So I go home and go look up my books them that I had and think that, okay, if I go and do a review of some of those information, I should be able to pass. So I did that, and I went back, and I passed. So I go in, and, you know, they had to, buy certain amount of books, and then I'm going to know no issues for quite a few different things, you know. And so I was going to learn some things that would benefit me, though. All right. And I did that. And after I done with that, I was thinking about, like, if I could get a job as a paralegal and stuff like that. But
life didn't go exactly like that. So the paralegal was beneficial to me, because I remember one time I was able to do appeal a case for someone who the judge ruled against, and I think this person appealed and brought it to me to do it, and I did it, and I won. Yeah, I did it and won the appeal, right? So that's cool. All right, what else? I was arrested at the church, and another brother, and we decided to play Apostle Paul. We're going to, because I was still Christian head at that time. And and then we come through it. And I tell you, my friend won his case doing less than I did, because I do some paralegal things going into the trial, but my friend didn't do none of that except just barely represent himself and won the verdict that he was not trespassing at the church. That's what the church had said. All right. Well, I was under one charge. Trespassing. They only have me for trespass, but they have my friend for trespassing it's not resisting. They didn't charge him for resisting. Oh yeah, he was resisting the police without violence. I think they wrote him up. They charged him for that and charged him for trespassing, and he got off the two charges. And I go into court after I depose the man who was the minister with a PhD, I guess. I don't know if it's just theology he was into, but he was the man who run the highest in the Presbyterian location, right? So yes, I deposed that man, and then I brought in two of his elders to testify into the court. Yeah, so I do all those things. My friend took 4 hours to finish his case and won. And I took up 2 days before the court ended. They found me guilty of trespass. Imagine, I only have that as a charge. So my friend made a powerful delivery. I don't think it is because my delivery wasn't powerful. It was past powerful because I was doing things that, if you should look at the record today, you would know that, you know what? I was before my time. You see, because the things that I did, it was like 6 white people are the juror. Right? The jury was 6 people, and they were white. And they didn't like what I did, because I disgraced these two ministers until, you know what? You wouldn't like to be one of them. You just wouldn't like to be one of them. So they got their inner core really plucked out, that day, right? And they send me go to a little low level jail. Yeah, for 30 days. Yeah. Stockade, they call it. It was a stockade, they call it, okay? So now, what I want to tell you is about my conviction of the church. I realized that the church was not, that the church was not like I thought it was, a place led by the Spirit of God, you know, and that type of thinking, right? That what we read in the Bible about Jesus and what Jesus said, I thought that the church was committed to be like that. And I find out, no. When our visit to the church and stuff like that, and they didn't want us to come there and talk certain things that are biblical things. They don't want to hear what a honest person reading know to be the truth. They want you to follow what they teach in the church. And the church is registered with the state. You know, you couldn't collect any type of tax deduction and stuff like that if you don't register with the state. So the state is not really about any Jesus, like they say. Jesus never exists anyway. If you read real good, and no need for anybody to shake because of what I'm saying. Because if you are to be taken up on a challenge to bring your dictionary, bring your word textbook, bring your Bible, and show the prophecy fulfilled, the Isaiah 9, 6, and 7 verse. Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. If you are to show in the New Testament where that is fulfilled, unto us a child is born, son is given, upon the throne of David, he will sit and rule and all that. Okay? The only thing you will find as a fulfillment in the New Testament is that a child was born. Now, what happened to the other things that this Messiah should do? You won't find none of that. You find them killing a man. You find them arresting this guy, right, before they kill him. That's what you find. And then they said he rose from the dead and all that kind of thing. Look, the cruelty that they put that man under, the prophet never said nothing about that. That would be a part of the fulfillment. And the fact, you know, so when you see that they're coming with wise men following a star and they coming with frankincense and myrrh, those things not in the prophecy. They're not in the prophecy. Now, you've been Christian like me for many, many years, and you hear somebody come along talking this kind of stuff. What do you make of that? Somebody is like telling you, Jesus never exists, and point him out in the Bible. You will never be able to find out. And I said, you know, Jesus lie? You will like say, boy, you're blaspheming. I am not. I am not. Jesus does lie. But you and I don't see it because we believe what the Bible say. Long time. That in and of itself blind your inner cognizance. That when you read about wise men follow a star, you think it actually happened, but you don't read that. You don't read that. You read that the star did not stop directly when they reached the baby. It stopped before. I am reading the Bible all along and never noticed that. That the wise men stopped somewhere, they should not. It's not like something, a plus, that was hating what they were doing, but it was really hating and abetting that this is a filthy, filthy stuff that you're reading about.
wise men follow a star. It never did. Right? Because they confuse up the writing, whereas you would think, I never thought that the star had stopped somewhere. For these wise men to sort out something before they get to where the baby's at, right? I never think of that to be so. So when I begin to read lately into my old age, but reading and notice what I'm reading, I realize like about four places in the chapter of Matthew 2. That was the last time I believed that. I would never be able to believe it like I used to, because I now read and find linguistically it is not a true story, because God betray his people in there, because when the wise men follow the star to where Herod, you know who Herod is. Herod is not a nice person. He's a ruler over the Israelite people who were under the Romans. Now, we don't know anything about the Romans, and I learn about the Romans later, and the Romans are not real Romans either. So it was good that I go to the school and learn better, because these things, I wouldn't be able to manage them. But I'm telling you that they're in the Bible. There's a ton of things in there that I, who has been a Bible lover and believer, when I tell you today what I'm saying, I don't have the conscience or anything inside of me to like lie to somebody about what I can prove. Because if you call me down on it, you know, like 347-850-1358. And, you know, you have like about 3-4 minutes to call me and talk to me about anything right now and hereafter on another show. You can always come here and talk to me, right? And nobody's going to be in any kind of a peril if you know what you are talking about, and you don't talk about belief and stuff like that, because belief doesn't weigh anything in the scale, okay? You handle belief based on what you want belief to be. And if you are believing some things that you don't really know how to prove it, you shouldn't believe it. You know what I mean? The words carry science definition, and you must know that. Okay? So you don't talk about, you know, believe on the Lord and thou shalt be saved. You should say, come get knowledge about the Lord and be saved. Get knowledge, not believe, because belief doesn't carry any energy in it to assure anything. You want to, it's a thing that make you rely. Belief is something that make you rely. You don't want to rely on a fact when you need to have the knowledge. You don't rely on believe that is true. Get the knowledge up front and know it is true. Now, this Christianity is based upon belief. People don't know nothing that they are believing and say they are Christian. So now, when I ask you to show me if the prophecy fulfilled of Isaiah 9, all the other prophets prophesy about Messiah coming, but they don't tell you exactly what the Messiah must do when he fulfilled. But Isaiah 9 did that. I respect that scripture for a long time because it does tell you exact. Well,
what I'm trying to say to you, it's a big disappointment to me. Because I never had anything else in my head, in my mind. But since I understand now, I am not concerned that of what happened and my experience with the Bible. But it did bother me when I just find out. It did bother me. Now, when you know you're dealing with the truth, you don't care about anything else. You don't care about anything else as long as you learn the truth. Now, whatever your past life was and you have regrets, well, you can regret and get over with the regret. But now you set your mind on what the truth is and you don't worry about anything else. That's what our life is for, is to know the truth. And he said, the truth sets you free. Not belief make you free. So you see, the Bible can twist you up in a lot of ways, right? So I'm telling you now about my change and the church. And let me come now back to David Keene, who become a minister in the church. You know, he raised up his own church, and based upon what we know churches, that was a nice church, you know, with good following, all right? Serve me is, you know, what we read in the Bible as God's goodness and his love for his people. And especially, remember Moses, oh, God chastise Miriam, though he didn't chastise Aaron, but God come down from heaven and chastised Miriam in the book of what? Numbers, I think. Numbers? It could be Numbers. Numbers 12. Numbers 12 or Numbers 11. It is telling how God came down and rebuke Miriam and Aaron. Well, Aaron didn't get no rebuke, but God rebuke Miriam. And you'd wonder why God, you know, you and I read those scriptures, right? And you don't remember anything like that. But I now can tell you, because I've been through the reread and the opening of my mind to what I read, and all those years I'm reading and only believing what I read or what I believe prior to believing it every time, believe it and pass over it and don't see anything wrong, right? So now I'm telling you that God's love for the people biblically speaking now, we're not talking about reality from someplace else. The Bible's reality. God showed Moses special regard because he was the one who carried God's word to the people. So, according to the Bible then, it goes through from Old Testament to New Testament, God's, you know, way with the messenger. So now, David is a messenger of God. And what I read that happened to David, whether somebody like it or not, I have other reasons that back up what I am thinking. Prehistory that backs up reality. There is no reality in Christianity. And neither is David blessed for being a leader of a flock. There is no blessing on that because Christianity is a bitch of a thing. Okay? We won't know, right?
We won't know what Christianity until you read, say, the world is a textbook. I put you and show you where Christianity began. In the world is a textbook. You will, you know, you cannot accept what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is this. I am one person. If you don't think I am credible, I'll prove to you I'm credible. So you can go ahead and say, he's not credible, and wave your hand. Don't come for us to prove it, because I'm going to prove anything I said here. As ridiculous as it may sound, the reason why it sounds ridiculous to you, you didn't read about it. Like the wise man who following the star. For me now to tell you, there was no man following any star. And that my son, I mean, what are you talking about? Because you believe it's true. I don't believe it's true now anymore. I know it's not true. Because I read it and I know exactly what it says. You read it and you didn't know exactly what it says. You see, I find like 3 sections of Matthew 2 that tells me that something was, I mean, a whole heap around. That is enough for me to tell you that there was no wise man from the east, nor west, north or south. It's a lie. And you will be surprised to know the amount of lies connect with Jesus out of Jesus' own mouth. The white printing in the Bible. Raw lie. Did Jesus go and look for John the Baptist when they said he was arrested? Well, it's as good enough as no John the Baptist existed. Okay? But it doesn't matter what is written in the Bible. That was something I believe. Now I'm reading and find out that there is something, a gulf between the words that I'm reading and my heart that is believing it. You hear me? And you are going to be afraid of these things if you don't know. And you don't do anything when you don't know. If you find it strange, it's strange. But not unless you feel like you're not going to look up for nothing, because you know and I saw. And that if you know, the real substance in life is to get to know. Right? I mean, do you have a boyfriend you don't know? Or a girlfriend you don't know? Or any friend you don't know? No. You have to know them. How could this person, you know this person exists if you don't know them? You see what I mean? So, higher knowledge will develop your senses to respect what is true. And if you don't, You waste your time. Go to church all the days of your life. Telling you about David now. When I heard that on a Christmas Eve or one of those celebration Eve, David was preaching a sermon. And had an heart attack. Heart attack, I think. Is it heart attack? He had an attack, an illness, right? And they say, while he was having the attack, David was rebuking the devil. Yeah? And like I said to you, David is a person of... He's a real person. He's a real person. So only something that beyond his spiritual sense, I think he can go wrong with. But David was not connected to any Lord or any God. In this sense, nothing, because the Lord don't let you down. The Spirit of the Lord don't let you down. It that cannot happen. So if you are exposing yourself this way, whereas you are in a position for God to show his blessing on you, and don't make excuse for it, like say, well, God knows all things and blah, 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 blah. Because that's what the church bring us to. When you see something that is telling you something is wrong, we think that God knows the best and stuff like that. That's not the way it's supposed to go. If God says he's going to do something, you must hold that. And if you see something else, you must know something is wrong with what the Bible is saying. Because the word of God is going to be what it is. Right? So, you look at if you know all over the Bible, it says God is perfect and everything like that, right? He's ubiquitous. He ordained everything that we see in the world today. He ordained us and stuff like that, right? I mean, is there anything in the Bible that tells me that is not true? You don't know of any, but I know of some. And I'm telling you about one now. We always believe that God don't lie. There are big enough lies in the Bible that God tells. And one of them is the perfection of God, which is all over the Bible. God don't make mistake. A lie. Right? And I'm going to tell you now. One of the things in the Bible that actually blatantly said God lie is the one in Genesis 6, where it says God painted him that he make man. Now, two type of this kind of a foolishness I see in the Bible. It is impossible, as far as we know, the Bible tell truth. Is that God loves us and God is a perfect God. Everything, God is perfect. When it says that God, it repented God that he made man, that come like just another human being that you're talking to. It cannot be God. All right. So therefore, would you put your trust in the Bible, not in God, but in the Bible, that somebody is writing something in the Bible when I got some. But if you think that the Bible is the word of God, you're not going to think so. You might think that God write the Bible and it can't be wrong. And none of those things are true. It is impossible for God to say it repent him, because God repent over what he created. The Bible don't say that in other places. And you want to say God now can say anything and do anything? No, that would not be the God who created your body that works so perfect, right? If you get disease and something like that and all kind of thing, no blessing is on you. All things can go wrong with your body, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about, oh, God make you good, and you go out and go sin up yourself and your body gone, you know, in with disease and stuff like that. That's a two different thing. But there's another place in the Bible where is God and his son Jesus is lying. Well, let's take out the part where Jesus lies. St. John 17, 1 through 5. Now, here is a lie that Jesus told about Father. You know, I have finished the work that you gave me to do, and I'm coming home to you now. But first, I want you to glorify me with the glory you have with me before the foundation of the world. Is that true? No, it's not true. Jesus is lying. There is no Jesus talking. That's what the problem is. And you might think that you believe this in such a way that it cannot, I cannot be telling the truth. But word contradiction is safer than you and I. Word contradiction is not going to lie, because words are not like people, right? So that when you write a word and
and say something to somebody, if you write it properly, they cannot get out of what you say. If they're looking to get out from what you say. Right? So Jesus say that he finished the work that God gave him to do. Okay? Was it true that Jesus finished the work when he called the disciples them and bring them in and teach them? Did he finish the work? Mean completion. Did he do everything God tell him to do? Tell me yes or no. And if you say yes, I'm going to tell you why it is a lie. If you say no, well, that's fine. I don't have to say nothing to you because you know something, right? You know something that makes sense. So I don't have to tell you that. But the person who's going to tell me that that Jesus did do everything, then I realize that they are not in the know. You got to go back to read that, or I'll just tell you in some brief words that Jesus lied because when he say he finished the work, mean he taught these disciples. So if he taught them, Peter wouldn't be up on the housetop later on praying and telling and God and Jesus appear in a vision and tell him, rise, Peter, rise, kill and eat. Now, if Jesus taught him, why would he be telling Simon Peter, who is praying to God, to him, tell him to rise, kill and eat? And Peter is rebuking Jesus and said, you know I don't eat what is common or unclean. You don't expect Simon Peter to say that. But that's what Simon Peter said. That he don't eat anything common or unclean. You know that Jesus and Simon Peter walk together and everything like that. They eat and everything together, right? So why, when Jesus gone back to heaven, Simon Peter is up on an housetop or somewhere praying to Jesus, and Jesus is Peter saw this vision where, you know, some beast with cloven hoof or hoof and stuff like that, and Jesus at the same time said, "Rise, Peter, rise, kill and eat." And he said to Jesus, you know I don't eat what common or unclean. And Jesus replied and tell him, hey, Peter, what I cleanse, call not man common or unclean. Now, what is the relevance of that? The relevance of that is whatever Jesus may be talking about, it's over into Saint John that he finished the work. He is lying because he was on earth to do the job and do it completely. When he said he finished it, there was nothing left. He left Simon Peter as a leading disciple. Like he has the key to the kingdom and stuff like that. So there you have it. Jesus is lying. There is no Jesus at all exists any place in the world at any time. It's a false story that we are into. It's an empty myth. When you read about Jesus and John the Baptist, not true. It's not true. And you'd wonder, who would sit down and do those things? White people, Europeans. Europeans. Isn't it they the ones that go down to Palestine and Caesar Augustus gave command that all men should be taxed, and they said that
Joseph and Mary went down to pay tax and they had to go into a hen to have the baby. All of that. None of it is true. It's not real story. You see what I mean? So we're going to go to church and die and they eulogize us over foolishness. And it is hard to come to that understanding all by yourself. Unless you were reading and find out. Jesus is a liar because Jesus never exists. And these white people are writing all these things and say, Jesus said. All right. So in the case of Isaiah 9, 6, and 7 and stuff like that, there is no truth about what they are saying about a Messiah should come. It's all a story. Now, you don't expect me to come from Palm Mountain and learn to read some and come here and tell you foolishness? No, because you know what? I am for you and myself. I ain't lying. And anything you hear me say, it is 100% to help somebody else to understand. What is civilization? What is civilization? Just not too long ago, I realized that we don't know what is civilization. Civilization came from heaven. Right? Yeah, civilization came from heaven. When? That is another thing. Civilization is a two-sided thing. Civil and lies. Okay? The prefix is the intangible part of it. You know, like a documental part of it. And then the actual production of what is written or in the person's brain, then that make complete civilization. Okay? But civilization is not just a person. A person has to have the knowledge to create. To be civil. You see what I mean? You have to have the knowledge. What if you have no knowledge? You don't have no knowledge. No, you're not civil in that sense. But what happened to the gods who are knowing, all knowing of what they do? They are the one with civilization. When they came to earth 445 thousand years ago, they brought knowledge to build everything that we see they built on earth, including creating the human race. They created the human race. It's not anything like what they're talking about in Adam in the garden story there and the talking serpents and all these things are stories that are only, it's a mess. It's a mess, really. They're not true. Salvation is not true. The salvation that I'm talking about in the Bible is definitely not true. And I tell you what, my life is better today knowing these things that I can see the evidence of it to be true. Okay? It's not like when I would read the Bible before and, you know, I can't see anything that I can say for sure, this is so. I can only like surmise, well, you know, God, you know, invisible God make all things, that kind of stuff. But no, life is different from that. Knowledge is different from that. And that knowledge is here for us. And if we don't get to understand that, we will die and perish. All right. I thank you for tuning into the program. And
I hope that what I am saying is carrying a positive effect. I say to you that it is difficult for somebody to look at my friend David and think that he's not a true man of God. Well, first of all, he would have to know what is God. And, you know, as far as we humans are concerned, we don't primarily talk about a God. Because in prehistory, we don't have a capital G-O-D that affects our lives. We just don't. We are affected by the Hebrew and not the modern day Hebrews either. Because these white people fill the world with Bible and all kind of a nonsense. And, you know, it's gone like a long distance away from what I'm saying right now for us to understand who white people are. It's a lot of things about white people on us that we are supposed to know. I can just tell you a few things. Don't marry to white people. Don't befriend white people. White people need to go back to Europe where they come from. That is my conclusion. And it's right. My conclusion is right because it's the history that tells you where they come from. Okay? They are feeding off, I think a lot of people out there know that. White people are feeding off us. We have government and they come here and say we don't have any government. And, you know, they don't preempt our brain and throw all kind of a disease into our brain. That's the reason why we are of no use to ourselves. It's a lot of things that we need to know. You see, but they put belief inside of us and tell us all kind of things. And what I'm telling about the Bible, I swear, what I say is the truth. And that I didn't misread. What I tell you is true. And if you want to hold on to your belief, hold on to knowledge here. You go to school, they didn't teach you about believing. You notice that? But church begin to teach you about believing. So how much of that do you think you need to give up? You see what I mean? So we have not known the truth for so long. It's hard to learn it now. You see what I mean? But I think there are those people who will hear something that stop them in their track because they know, you know what? You know, it's like they feel something when they hear that because they see they can't pass what is said. You know, this person is really talking something that is divinely true because they can see it in their own spirit that you're talking 2 and 2 is 4, right? You know, there's nothing to hit. And you needed to hear somebody say it in order to kick, to jumpstart you. And that's the way it works with a lot of people. They hear something that stops them in their thinking track and say, you know what? I have to think about this some more. Because they begin to feel liberation and know and sense within themselves that, you know what? That sounds like that something that I must contend with and get to know. Because it sounds too good. And in all of your life, you never hear that. And you may probably hear a little thing that sounds like that, but it didn't come with this force now and clarity. All right. So what I'm saying to you is this. The way I felt growing up and the barren impression that I have, lack of clarity of anything that exists in the world, I didn't know for real anything in the world to be true. It was Moses, Elias, and all these kind of things. And now I read history. I am a different person. I am a different person. So, yeah. You cannot, just common sense, a preacher of the Lord and
and constantly tell people of how good the Lord is and what God can do and stuff like that. And when it come time for God to do something for David, God didn't do it. And a lot of Christians will think, say, well, you don't know God's business and stuff like that. I mean, but he's the preacher. And he's delivering the sermon. And God, who is to make sure that the word goes, the word goes out, that very evening, David is preaching. God wanted him to stop, if you're going to say God is anointing him. Well, God stop him. Him no want to talk no more. Want him to talk no more word of God for whatever. But you think it, you don't see that contradictory to the way God works? I mean, God can work contrary to his own word about his reliance and blessing and how he make things work. No, if at least God is predictable in being perfect. But if God is going to change his mind afterward, you cannot be convinced of that theory of God. No. So what I'm trying to say to you about my friend David, we are in the swamp when it comes to getting to know knowledge about our own existence. You see, because I too was going on with what the church says and didn't know knowledge to let me discern and find things out for myself. There was nobody trying to give me that. So we all follow the same Christmas Easter foolishness. All right. So I want to thank you for tuning into the program, and I hope you get something from that. And now I'm going to go to this portion of knowledge here. Get out of all invasion. Turn settlement. So this is saying, hey, get out of all invasion, Western settlement. Who sent you gays to kill God's kids? You hear that? You see, all those places like in down in my Jamaica down there where white people have taken over. It's time for us to kick them out. Really, because look, they don't have any right there. We think so. We think white people are Christian and that's where we get Christianity from. No, they bought us a slave and treat us like slave and disrespectful, and we don't know. We cannot be united with the knowledge of the world if we are Christian. I show you this world is a textbook. These white people, it's a story that is there that we don't know. Now, I begin to read some of these things and know that white people don't belong in bed with African people. You just don't. And it's the history that says it. These white people have a reason why they are doing the things they do. And not unless we come to find out, what have they done? Where do they come from? Well, if you know about the species in a world history textbook, you know two different species. Right? One is for hominid primates, okay? That's the hominid. Remember that? Hominid primates is the first one to walk upright on the earth. Hominid. And they call it another name. I don't remember it all the time. All right. But bipedal. Okay. Okay. The bipedal is the hominid primate. That's number one. How long they have been on the earth? They've been on the earth 3.5 to 4 million years ago. Before them, we don't have a record of any prior to them. So they are the first we know to walk upright. All right. So these hominid species are the ancestors or the ancestor of the white people of Europe. Now, in the World History textbook, because human beings were created 200,000 years ago. Yeah, just 200,000 years ago. And 100,000 years ago, the gods tell us to come and fill up the Western hemisphere and settle there. And when we were coming to the Western world, the hominid primates, some of our people, and from thence, they begin to get babies that talk and have our blood. Well, that's the reason why they talk, is because they get some of our blood, whatever the attack they did. And I am told some kidnapping of our people went on. That's a long time ago, 100,000 years ago. But that was when we were 100,000 years developing in Africa. We didn't go anyplace else. So the only place we're going to go now for the first time is in the Western world, from Africa. And these, I don't know if you have ever seen little chimp monkeys begin to hold on a duck and force and rape the duck. Yeah, well, think that these white people and their origin is coming from that hip, okay? That attack our people and do things, whereas our blood, we get their blood inside of us because they have rhesus blood. Right? They have all kind of disease, monkey disease, and they let it out on us. That's what they call in the Bible talking serpent. Talking serpent is nothing more than these white people ancestors. Okay, so what you're reading in the Bible and think is a real story, a white people story, and we turn fool from right that 100,000 years ago. We turn fool. Since 100,000 years ago, and until this day, we don't even know that we have a government. We don't even know that we come from Africa. So when I tell you that, it's up to you. If you want to think that, you know, that is nonsense, you can think that is nonsense. But it makes every sense to me, because it gives meaning to something you're looking at. I'm looking at something that this story, I said, we are retarded. And you might think that you're not retarded. But you think about what we were 200,000 years ago. We were the brilliant people that we were created by. We are created with this civilized knowledge of things, right? And manage our own government. Today, We don't even know that we had a government because we are under these white people telling us about AD and Adamani, Christmas and Easter and all this kind of stuff. And later on, they tell you about all of their great things that they have done since they come to the Western world and a whole bunch of stuff that they do. You see what I mean? We are not supposed to be thinking those kind of nonsense. So I tell you, and hope that it means something to you. So I'm saying here, I'm telling these white people to get out of our territory. It's not one, it's not two, it's not three. Why are they in our territory and bring all of their sodomite people to dwell with us? If you don't know, I'm telling you why. They planned it that way. White people plan to make African ethnic people make us to be the base of thought of humanity. And they want to take the credibility of humanity and make it for themselves. And they're gradually morphing our character, take off everything we have, okay, as a character, and take it for themselves. And if you don't know that is true, you are in the perishing line, because these are things to keep you spiritually well. If you don't know them, you're out there guessing and not making use of knowledge, where it gives you the energy to develop the character and person that is in you to develop. So what you see is happening today, and we coming out of slavery, and our people got to go abroad and get help, get all kind of economic help from them, and you think that they are our superior. White people are not superior human. They are not human beings. Let us know that. They are not human beings. They are from apes, and they would want us to think that we are the one who are monkeys. They're doing that because we late in finding out who we are after they put this retardation disease into our brain for over like 100,000 years. We don't know who we are. Okay? And if we don't do that, they will use Christianity and put us in the grave. That's no joke. All right. So I'm telling, and remember, this is not something that these white people wanted to hear anytime. But look, once we know and we begin to talk, the arse is gone through the gate. Could do all the lynching and stuff like that to us before, but they don't dare do it now. They don't dare do it now. You know, the days when they probably didn't even care about clothes and stuff like that, because they never did wear clothes. If we, our ancestors here, we would know that back 100,000 years ago, white people were not wearing clothes. Because clothes is what the gods bring, and grains and all these things, fruits, come from their planet up there, if at all it wasn't growing on the earth a long time before their time. But earth was a part of the planet, on this planet called Nibiru. And that's where, why the water is on this planet, because it come and are broken off from another planet. And so we are here, and we don't know, we don't hear the real thing to energize us and bring us back to understanding, to knowledge. All right. So now we are getting a taste of some of it, and it may sound strange, but if you really have the zest to know certain things, well, you go for it. You go for it, because once you start read, you will start find out if you're making sense when you read, you know. All right. So get out of these white people invasion Western settlement. They need to get out. Who sent you guys, you gays? Who sent you gays to kill God's kids? You know, we are the blood and the sapien. It's two species we have that make us up. It's mixed blood that create a hybrid. And that's what we are. All right? Now, once I say the horse get out the gate, they have us in bondage all along. But once the horse get out the gate, that's it. They are done forever, and they will be doomed forever. The chance they had to make something of themselves, they have manifested. And then, therefore, we remain the people that we are and develop ourselves that we were plagued by. All right? Now, counting the dead. We're talking about they come here and start killing us, and we have not been able to respond and to avoid them killing us. You know? Because if we were in our right mind, they couldn't come here and talk about they invading us and say, oh, no. Oh, no. It would never happen. But look here now. We fall into a trap. They come here and all our slavery. And they begin to do a whole bunch of evil acts to us. And I tell you, they intend to, I mean, really, really destroy us. That's what these people, they want us to start to be sodomite homosexual like them. That's what the Bible is about, because Jesus is not a real character, what they have in the Bible. So you have to just understand, there's nothing there for us in Christianity, okay? And in the Bible, I mean, at large, few things are in the Bible, but you have to read that and take out those things in the Old Testament, not New Testament. New Testament is, you know, a dog, you know, a sewer pit stuff. So we need to get out of the dungeon with these white people. Now, they have us in America here, and not just America, but let's talk about America. They're killing us, right? Until after a while, scholars begin to write down and see what they have been doing to us, right? So this is something that tells about back in the 14th century, 1492 and stuff like that, things that they have done with us and behave like they are the ones who are in America first. That's the way they behave. Right? These are something that we are to know and do not allow. Get out of that church. That church is not for us. But if you don't have the knowledge, you're going to have to be in the, you're going to follow the church. You need to read and get the knowledge of who you are and what the Creator say about us and what we are supposed to do. We have the history to know it. And anybody want to know about the book, call me at any time, right? And I will tell you, 347-850-1358. Okay, all right. So here it is. Estimating the loss of life in the indigenous Holocaust, 1492, presents David Michael Smith, University of Houston, downtown. During the past century, researchers have learned a great deal about the nature and scope of what Russell Taunton
had called the demographic collapse of the indigenous population in the Western Hemisphere. After 1942, as David Stannard has explained, the almost inconceivable number of deaths caused by the invasion and conquest. Yes. Okay. Okay, so now he's saying, as David Stannard had explained, the most inconceivable number of deaths caused by the invasion and conquest of these lands by Europeans. See, how do they just come in and take charge of our place as though we were never in charge? That is teaching us something we are not doing, or something we need to start doing now to assert ourselves as rulers, not them. They don't have anything to prove ownership or power over where we settled. They do not. But we are retarded. Remember I told you. And we must make an effort to get out of what is wrong with us. Okay? Seek to heal from our illness. The almost inconceivable number of deaths caused by the invasion and conquest of these lands by Europeans. See, they take away our lands and there's nothing we could do about it until they make phony laws and said they were controlling everything we have. Okay? No, you understand what position are we in? We are in a position now to become sober and cognizant and order them out. That's the position we are in. Because now they're going to insist that they are the rulers and indeed, they are not human beings. That's the reason why we are having this kind of trouble, because they are not human beings. And they are insisting that they are, you know what I mean? If we don't take the stand and move the ball along, they will forever do that. The Yes, caused by the invasion and conquest of the lands by Europeans and their descendants constitute the worst human holocaust. Imagine that. They come and then Europe and their descendants, right, constitute the worst human holocaust the world had ever witnessed. Just imagine that. These people come here thousands of miles away, like 5,000 years ago, and come and treating us like we are puppies. You see? Okay, now we know what happened. I told you what happened. Okay?
It's not that we were created so, but here we are today. We lose so much part of our brain. Okay? There's something we can do is to get knowledge of serious kind of words that will purge out these kind of a bad places that we have in our brain. Now, so it goes on to say here, colors have long had reliable information on the size of the indigenous population on in this hemisphere and this country at its nadir point around the turn of the 20th century and in recent decades investigators have developed a range of estimates of the native population in the Western Hemisphere before 1492. Researchers have also amassed considerable knowledge about the role of diseases, war, genocide, violence, enslavement, forced relocation, the destruction of the food sources, the devastation of ways of life, declining birth rate and other factors in the indigenous Holocaust. This paper draws on the work of Russell Thornton, David Stannard, and other scholars in attempting to count the dead is in developing informed and reasonable. If very rough estimates of the total loss of indigenous lives caused by colonialism in the Western Hemisphere and in what is today the United States of America. Although this analysis is inevitably grim and so and sudden and sudden and saddening. Okay. Is inevitably grim and sadding. There is much to gain by understanding the most sustaining loss of life in human history, both for people living today and for future generations. At the turn of the 20th century, the total number of native inhabitants leaving the entire Western hemisphere had declined four to four point five million decline. Really? Native habitants, you know, the total number of native, yes, the, okay, all right, so I think that we gone as far as we could. Okay. So, all right. I didn't get to read a part of the line I was coming to, but I hope that you have heard something that stir up your mind and look towards where we can find something to develop our own self, our brain, so that we will know for ourselves, okay? So may the good Lord bless and keep you until we have another time. Take care.